With that, we transition over to the college basketball side of things and bring on professional handicapper Ralph Michaels from WagerTalk.com. Ralph, how's it going today, man?
Doing great, Adam. It was great to see you out here in Vegas. You know, it's nice to see the hype that your baseball guide's getting and the respect you get from the media people out here. It really is a nod to the hard work and the dedication you put into it.
Well, I definitely appreciate that, man. It was great to see you last week as well. And obviously, this isn't Kyle Hunter, but Kyle Hunter out sick here on today's show. But we bring Ralph back. Great to get him back on the show. It's been a little while here. We're going to talk about some of the conference tournaments that start here this week, some of the conference tournament betting strategies, things of that sort. And Ralph, I guess we'll start with that because the postseason begins on Tuesday night. Atlantic Sun, Big South, Horizon League, and the Patriot League. What's different about betting these conference tournament games as opposed to betting regular season games?
Well, I think you're going to find that I like betting big dogs, especially early. Those teams that have had losing streaks going into the conference tournaments, because number one, it's a restart of the season for them. Number two, you have to remember that these teams are playing back-to-back-to-back days very often. And if you get that big lead, are you resting? Are you pooling your starters? Are you playing your bench? Are you going deeper into your bench to get some more depth moving forward? So the mindset is quite a bit different, handicapping with a lead and for those underdogs that continue to give 100% effort to the final buzzer.
So again, I mean, this is a one-shot deal for a lot of these teams here, especially these early conference tournaments, the A-Sun, Big South, Patriot, Horizon, Ohio Valley, Northeast. The West Coast is not going to be a one-bid league this year. The Missouri Valley will be a one-bid league as well. So you got one shot here in a lot of these early conference tournaments. So do you feel like you can still handicap motivation even though there's only one bid available?
I don't. Yeah, I think you're handicapping it completely different. When you have conference tournaments and when you have the NCAA tournament, I think you're not handicapping motivation. That's quite a bit different in the NIT, where I think motivation in the early games is one of the most important factors handicapping some of those smaller conferences for teams that are disappointed in the tournament they're in.
All right, so let's take a look here at some of these conference tournaments specifically, and we start with the Atlantic Sun tournament, and unfortunately here, the sportsbook's pretty slow to react here on Monday morning. We don't have odds for most of these. The only book I've got odds for is the Circa for the Horizon League tournament. Don't have anything other than that. So we'll try to do the best we can here with some strategy and some of the things that we're looking at here. But in the A-Sun, Liberty is your top seed, your overwhelming tournament favorite once we get numbers posted everywhere. Even though Liberty and North Florida tied with identical 13-3 records, and North Florida, in fact, actually beat Liberty once out of their two meetings. But this looks like it's Liberty's tournament to lose. And also, too, there's a different handicapping strategy with these tournaments because all of these games are at campus sites. So you have to factor home court advantage into the equation.
And I think home court advantage for the tournaments is even bigger than in the regular season. Now, even though you're having to give some of your seats up and some of the conferences, you know, you have to give seats to each of the schools, I think there's the familiarity, the added edge, the crowd, be it not as large as a regular crowd. But, you know, when you're playing these back-to-backs, you have to remember, college kids are accustomed to this. They're going on the road and they're leaving that night or they're leaving first thing in the morning. Now these kids are staying in a different setting. It's the tournament type setting that some of them played in November, but it's not a tournament type setting because you're prepping for those next teams. So I actually give the coaches a little bit of a higher edge than I do when I have my coaching ratings. And I give the home court edge for those teams having it a little higher as well.
No, that makes a whole lot of sense here. And again, I mean, Liberty last year won this conference tournament. In fact, if you remember, they went on the road to Lipscomb and won this conference tournament. That was a very, very good Lipscomb team last year. The 2018 Lipscomb team was also very good. This year, Lipscomb draws the 3 seed because they had a higher net rating than Stetson. Stetson, one of the other teams that beat Liberty here over the course of the season. And Lipscomb just did it in the regular season finale. But Ralph, as you look up and down this conference here, is there any way you could, you know, look at anybody other than Liberty to win this thing?
Yeah, again, I am not I am not giving it to Liberty because I do like this North Florida squad. You know, you have one of the most efficient offenses in the country. Their problem is defense, but a lot of times you can live by the defense. I like the way they finished going down the stretch, winning 8 of their last 9. You look at the Lipscomb game they played on the road, they lost 85-73, and it was a game that they shot very poorly, one of their worst shooting games. So, you know, in the second meeting when they played Liberty, they beat Liberty at home 71-70, then they lose by 5. I give North Florida a shot. And a lot of times, Adam, I think it's actually good to talk about, play these games through in your head before you see the odds. Because even handicapping for 35 years, there's times you look at the odds and that sways your opinions on these games, who you really think might be able to win. So, you know, I do like going through these, just like much like I do bowl games. I like going through all the bowl games, making my lines before they come out, because then you don't have that misconception or again, think this team is this big of a favorite. Do I really think this dog has a live shot?
You know, and there are some other teams that we'll talk about here a little bit with some of these smaller conference tournaments that fall into this same boat. But a team like North Florida, as you mentioned, very good offensively, not good defensively at all. You're going to have a lot of teams like I'm trying to think here off the top of my head, but you're going to have a lot of teams here that, you know, rate very well defensively, but not as well offensively. In a conference tournament format like this, are you kind of leaning towards the offense over the defense or vice versa?
I usually lean defense, but if I'm going to take, and North Florida is not a flyer by any means, they're going to be the second favorite, but I like taking teams that are 3-point heavy, and they shot 38% from 3-point, a league best. And, you know, I'm going to go back and if people remember back in December or the end of November, when Michigan got hot and beat Gonzaga and went through their run, what happened? They got on fire from 3. And North Florida, I like those teams in the tournament that can shoot to 3 well, can win on the road, and has the ability to get hot from 3-point land.
All right, so we take a look at another conference tournament here. This is another very, very small conference, the Big South Conference Tournament. This one also starts on Tuesday night. The bottom 6 seeds play. They all play on campus sites. You've got High Point at USC Upstate, Campbell at UNC Asheville, Presbyterian at Charleston Southern. Thursday, the quarterfinals begin. Those are all held at Radford's campus because they are the number 1 seed. Same thing with the semifinals. Then the championship game on Sunday, March 8th, played at the home site of the highest seed, which if Radford winds up holding up, that's where the game will be played. If not, it could very well be in Rock Hill, South Carolina at Winthrop, something like that. But Radford and Winthrop tied with 15-3 records. Way to go to the second tiebreaker for Radford to be the number 1 seed. Winthrop is the number 2 here. And those are the 2 best teams in this conference. But Gardner-Webb kind of lurking, Campbell sort of lurking after that. Then a bunch of bottom 50 caliber teams here in the Big South. So as you sort of handicap through this tournament, Ralph, you know, who do you kind of have your eye on as probably the team to win this thing?
Well, having the home edge, you know, as I just said, I give the edge. So I expect Radford to win this. But, you know, my dark horse would be Gardner-Webb. You know, you lost who was the preseason player of the year for Perez for multiple games. If he can come back and can get healthy and start playing, you know, I don't know on his status. I haven't been able to get an update on him, but you know, they're certainly a team that I look at and was leaning forward. You know, the other team down the stretch, you know, Longwood finished well. They're the best defensive team. And as I said, there's certain times I like offense with the 3, but if Longwood could get any type of shooting, you know, that is a team that finished 7-3 down the stretch of the last 10 games. And, you know, one thing I want to point out, Adam, you and I talk about BartTorvik.com often. And when I get into these tournaments, a couple things I look at is I go in, and if you go into BartTorvik, you can put a start date on the top. So I go back and I look at what these teams did, their last 10 games. I go back to the end of January, punch them in. You see their offensive and defensive efficiencies. And then I also get a StatFox because they're the easiest to pull it down and pull down all the road stats for them. So you look at how the teams did on the road offensively and defensively, point per game and rebounds. And those are two things I think are very vital when you're breaking down these conferences, information-wise, to have it at your fingertips.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Bart Torvik is great, especially because you kind of get those trend lines with some of the visuals that he has there. And you look at a team like Gardner-Webb here. They've won six of the last seven. They beat Winthrop at home. They beat Radford on the road. In a game that Radford, you know, I mean, look, this was a team going for the number one seed there on Saturday, and maybe they already had it locked up. I'd have to go back and double check that. But so Gardner-Webb beat those two teams, the top two seeds here, over the last month or so, went to triple overtime in a 4-point loss at Winthrop. And that was 3 days after losing at home by three to Radford. So Gardner-Webb split the meetings with the top two seeds, and the losses were nothing to scoff at either. And this, of course, a Gardner-Webb team that won this conference tournament last year with the same head coach in Tim Kraft. And last year, they were a 10-6 team in the regular season in conference play, or 10-8, I believe, actually. This year, they were 11-7. So Gardner-Webb, not a bad bet here. Obviously, we want to see what this price looks like when the odds come out, but that may be one that you want to keep an eye on there in the Big South, even though a lot of people will say it will likely come down to Radford and Winthrop, and it could, but Gardner-Webb, a team with some upside there coming out of that three-seed line. Real quick, I want to circle back to the Atlantic Sun Conference Tournament because Circus Sports actually did post those A-Sun Conference Tournament odds here. Liberty is minus 350, North Florida plus 425, Lipscomb plus 2200, North Alabama 50-1, same thing with Jacksonville, and then on down from there. So Liberty minus 350 here with North Florida plus 425. And Ralph, I got to say, I don't even know if Liberty's as high as minus 350 in a potential championship game against North Florida.
Oh, I agree with that. I think there's certainly value there with North Florida. You know, North Florida is a team with, you know, 20 wins on the season. They have one go-to player. Kadir Rosa is a senior that can light it up for him. When you have a senior point guard who is your best player, I completely think there's value with the Ospreys.
All right, so let's go to the Horizon League here, where we've got Wright State, the minus 110 favorite out at Circa. At least that was as of yesterday. Northern Kentucky, plus 220. Green Bay, 10-1. Illinois, Chicago, 11-1. Nobody else in this conference really has a great chance. Everybody else, 35-1 or higher. But when we look at the Horizon, a couple of interesting differences for this season. The first is that they're going to reseed in the first and second round, or in the second round. So what that's going to do potentially is take away a long shot getting to the finals, because the last 2 years, we've seen long shots get to the finals in the Horizon League tournament. Last year, we saw Cleveland State get there as an 8 seed. They lost to Wright State. In 2017, Milwaukee made the finals as a 10 seed. So the Horizon League really trying to make a concerted effort here to put their best foot forward, get one of their two best teams into the conference tournament. The second interesting wrinkle here, and Rolf, we could talk about this for a couple of minutes, is that the first round games are at campus sites. The quarterfinal games are at campus sites, but the semifinal games and the championship games at Indiana Farmers Coliseum. This is the home floor of IUPUI, who is the bottom seed in this conference. But you know, when you get late into these conference tournaments here, these are sites that these teams generally don't play at too often. That can have a big impact on shooting numbers, totals, and things like that.
It does, but you know, I love the way the Horizon League does it and give their 1 and 2 a double bye. You know, they're the number 3 team gets a single bye. So, you know, the 3 teams going to play the next highest and on day 2. So, you know, all you have to do is, if you're Wright State or you're Northern Kentucky, is win 2 games. And, you know, the question's going to come up, it's hard to beat a team 3 times. And, I certainly think that Wright State and Northern Kentucky, the way it's set up, will get there. Well, you know, for those that didn't pay attention, on the final day of the regular season, Wright State was playing for the title against Northern Kentucky, went into Northern Kentucky, wins that game 64-62. So I had to go to the database, and I pulled out what teams do losing to an opponent twice if they have 20 or more wins. Northern Kentucky has 21 wins on the season. So you have a quality team that has dropped both of the first two meetings to an opponent. Going all the way back to 2010, the average line is only 2.7 in this situation, which you expect. You're a 20-win team. You have double revenge. 2.7 is the average line, and you're only 65-91 straight up, 41.7%. Against the spread, you're 74-79-3, 48.4%. So it's going to come up often in these conference tournaments about it's tough to beat a team three times. Well, it's not if you're the better team. You know, it's tough to upset a team three times. That's certainly one thing. But to beat a team three times, teams do it 58.3% of the time.
Well, and I think something that's really interesting about this conference tournament, and maybe this is the reason why Wright State has had some success against Northern Kentucky, massive pace war between Wright State and Northern Kentucky. Wright State, you know, kind of a top 35 team in tempo. Northern Kentucky, a bottom 50 team in tempo. And that will be interesting because the way that this is currently set up, it looks like you probably end up seeing Northern Kentucky play Green Bay on Monday. Green Bay also likes to push the tempo, also likes to push the pace. So on one hand, you can say, okay, Northern Kentucky will have just played a game at a higher tempo. They're going to be more prepared for it, taking on Wright State in a potential championship game. But on the flip side, they may play two very up-tempo games back-to-back. That's not the Norse's style. They're not a great three-point shooting team. That could really work to their detriment here. I kind of like Wright State, even as a chalky play at minus 110, because like you said, they've only got to win two games. And even if they draw Illinois-Chicago, who is, you know, maybe the best defensive team in this conference, I still think their draw is a little bit easier.
Yeah, yeah. Again, I have Northern just slightly higher as far as defense goes, but you know, Wright State's right there as well. But I completely agree with you. Green Bay is number 8 in tempo as far as KenPom ratings go, and Wright State is number 32. For these kids to be running up and down that court back to back nights the way they are when they're not accustomed to it, I think that would be a clear play for me where I could see a live betting situation where if the game's tied at the half, I would clearly be on Wright State, or even if Wright State's down a few, as long as Wright State was able to control the tempo and get enough shots off, then I'd be looking to play Wright State in the second half.
Well, that's another excellent talking point here. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, with clients, you can't necessarily, you know, sell them second half plays. It's just such a small window. But personally, with betting your bankroll, you know, these conference tournaments are a unique animal because, as we've said, you play back-to-backs or you play, you know, three games in 5 days, depending on how the conference tournament is set up. Live betting, second-half betting, tons of opportunities for that here at this time of the year.
Yeah, and you have to remember, Northern Kentucky has three sophomores in their starting lineup, including a point guard. So, you know, you have a situation where Is it surprising that, you know, down the stretch they went, 12-3, losses to Wright State, top three defense, Illinois, Chicago at home, top three defense, Wright State at home, top three defense. So I think when you're playing those tougher defenses and you have that sophomore, yeah, you know, Bryson Langdon's played a lot and he started most of this year, but he still is a first-year starter. He didn't play at all last year. You know, he redshirted, so you know, I look at it and I think there's value with Wright State at minus 110 because of only having to play the two games and just the better team, the best player on the court, no question, and the better coach. You know, you have to remember that Northern Kentucky is a first year under Darren Horn. He stayed home. Obviously he was an assistant there as the coach from last year, John Brandon, went to Cincinnati, but you have a first-year head coach coaching his first tournament. I think that's a negative as well.
All right, so another conference tournament that starts on Tuesday here. We've got four of them. Again, we already talked about the A-Sun, the Big South, the Horizon. Now we talk about the Patriot League. This is obviously going to be a one-bid league, but you know what? We don't have any odds for this conference tournament, but it does look very, very interesting because usually we think Patriot League, we think Bucknell. They're not very good this year. And in fact, you know, it's been kind of a struggle for them a little bit here of late. Colgate is the number one seed. American and BU tied with 12-6 conference records. American gets the 2 seed via tiebreakers, so BU is the 3 seed here. Army and Lafayette tied at 10-8, but Army won both head-to-head meetings. They're the 4 seed. All of these games on campus sites. This is not a conference tournament that reseeds. This is a pretty decent conference, though, where a lot of these teams are pretty interchangeable. A lot of these teams grade pretty equally. You think maybe we've got some value on somebody that's not the number one seed, Colgate?
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at, you know, the top team. There was no one that dominated down the stretch, as you said. Looking back at the last 10 games, American, Colgate, and Boston University were all 7-3. Loyola, Maryland, Lafayette, Army were all 6-4. Lehigh was 5-5. So, you know, you add into that situation the home court edge, it's going to be big. And I look at the best defensive team. You know, the best defensive team is American, no question. The best offensive team is going to be Boston. I think Boston U has a shot the way he has them finished. You know, you played your normal tough schedule down the stretch. You look at how they finished, and they're like 9-3 their last 12. They lost to Colgate by 16. That was a game that just got away from them. Lafayette, a two-point loss. Lehigh, an overtime loss by 2 points. They've been in every game. And a team that I have circled that I'll look at. Don't know if I'll get to the window with them, but I certainly may be on them once or twice betting-wise.
One of them that I'll throw out here is actually Lafayette. And Lafayette is going to be a team where we talk about betting futures, but we also talk about money line rollovers. And I think the money line rollover, more often than not, going to be a better course of action for you because you're going to get a much bigger price than that initial futures investment. And also, too, the way you hedge a money line rollover is to simply stop betting it. You know, if you bet a future and that team gets to the championship game, well, you probably have to invest more money on the other side to make your hedge. Lafayette is the 5 seed. They are on the road at Army. That's going to be a pick'em type of situation there. But this Lafayette team, you know, they beat Boston University. They lost to BU by a point. They've played very, very well against Colgate. They actually beat Colgate twice in the regular season. Lafayette is very inconsistent, though. They've kind of played up to the superior competition, down to the inferior competition. So there is some worry in that, but that's why you take this money line rollover price, where if they beat Army, you roll that over into an underdog roll against Colgate. If they beat Colgate, you roll that over into an underdog roll against probably American or BU. With a money line rollover, you look for upside. You look for ceiling. You look for a team that can go out there and score you some of these big upsets. Lafayette's done it already over the course of the conference play season. So that's one that I'm kind of looking at here as far as this conference goes. I think probably Colgate or BU ultimately wins it, but Lafayette is kind of your risk-reward type of play.
Well, you know, you're looking at a team in Lafayette that, you know, has a sophomore point guard and then a lot of leadership in the middle, and you got multiple guys that can score. You're a team that shoots free throws very well. You shoot twos well. You don't shoot three wells, but that's fine. And, you know, two losses is the most you've had in back-to-back games all year. So can't argue with that play at all.
All right, so we go to Wednesday here where we've got three conference tournaments getting underway. We won't talk about the Northeastern Conference. I'll have a preview, actually, of all of these 32 conference tournaments over at bangthebook.com, but let's take a look at the Mountain West here, a conference where we've got a lot more household names, a conference that a lot of people are going to know a bit better than some of those low major leagues. I'm astonished that that this conference tournament starts on Wednesday, and we don't have any odds out for it yet. But what we do know for sure, Ralph, is that San Diego State will be the clear-cut favorite here.
They will. And, you know, we talked about San Diego State a lot during the end of the regular season, and I clearly thought it would help them to lose a game. I didn't think it was a positive thing to have an undefeated season. I didn't think it was a positive thing to have that win streak to try to carry over. So, you know, we saw them lose to UNLV, and no one's playing better ball in the country right now than UNLV down the stretch. Just amazing, losing their bigs and going to small ball and what they've done. But, you know, now UNLV, of course, hosts this tournament, as they always do. But, you know, you saw San Diego State lose to UNLV, struggle mightily to Colorado State, and then struggle mightily in the first half against Nevada. And then Malachi Flynn takes over, scores, I think, 35 in that game. They pull away the second half against Nevada, and now I think they're back. You know, this is a team that, yes, you want to win your tournament, and it's a situation where if you were undefeated at this point, and this is a little off topic, but if you were undefeated, I wouldn't want to win my tournament and be undefeated. That would just be the mindset I have. The other difference between this tournament and next week is if you are playing physical teams back to back to back to back games and you know you're in the tournament, I don't know if winning the tournament is that much of a priority for you. Obviously, this week it's different. I'm talking next week when we look at some of those other tournaments. And let's say you're the Big Ten and you're one of the top two seeds and you have to play Wisconsin and Michigan State and Purdue and you're going to get banged up three straight days. Hell, I'd rather lose in round two, take those extra days rest, still be a three seed, and be happy without having banged up. With that said, though, now they have the entire week of rest. Having lost to UNLV, I think, helps them have revenge if they face them again. Having beaten UNLV here in this setting gives them momentum. I would not bet against San Diego State in this tournament. But again, you're talking about a prohibitive favorite. And, you know, you're going to be playing Air Force or Fresno, no problem then. So you very well could have a second-round game against UNLV. I like Utah State to get to the finals. I think Utah State's playing as well as anyone. And if I can get Utah State, I'm looking ahead to the finals, and obviously it matters, you know, how well you're playing. But if I can get Utah State plus five or more down the stretch, I'd be happy to take them in the finals against San Diego State. And if I'm getting Utah State, if I think they're going to be a five-point dog in the finals and a significant favorite in the other games, you know, if I could get them plus 250 as far as the tournament goes, then I'd be looking at them.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, you got four games in 4 days here for the teams that have to play on Wednesday. Those are the 6 through 11 seeds. As you mentioned, this one at the Thomas and Mack out in Nevada, UNLV, with that home court advantage, but obviously these fan bases travel because, you know, why wouldn't you want to go to Las Vegas at this time of the year? The thing that's interesting, San Diego State here, since 2009, they've been in the finals of this conference tournament 9 times. They are only 3-6 straight up in those 9 games. So this is a team that makes a good tournament run, doesn't always finish it off. We'll see if they're able to do it here. I agree with you on Utah State because one of the things you're going to find in these conference tournaments, teams that had really high expectations and fell well short of them, they are supremely motivated to go out there and try and get that bid back that they feel like they lost. Utah State is that team. To me, they are the most dangerous team in this conference tournament. We'll see what the odds look like here once that one rolls around. Rolf, one more conference tournament I want to touch on with you here on today's show. That is the Ohio Valley Conference Tournament. This one is at the Ford Center in Evansville, Indiana. The top 8 teams qualify for this one. Belmont, your number 1 seed. Murray State, your number 2 seed. Austin Peay, your number 3 seed. Eastern Kentucky, the 4 seed, went 12-6 in conference play. But very, very top-heavy conference tournament here with Belmont, Murray State, and then Austin Peay. So we don't have odds for this one out yet, but how are you kind of stack ranking those 3 teams?
I mean, you want to talk about 3 teams that battled out the entire year between, I mean, if you guys didn't follow the Ohio Valley, between Belmont and Murray State and Austin Peay, Murray State's won it, what, 3 straight years now? And, you know, again, you have Belmont with a first-year head coach, and I see Murray State, to me, as the team that I am going to bet. If Belmont comes favored, I am definitely taking Murray State in the number two spot. You have, you know, when you're all conference, your all conference teams are basically going to be Belmont, Murray State, and Austin Peay, your top five guys in the conference. You got multiple players with Belmont, with Murphy and Musinski, and Murray State, of course, Tevin Brown and KJ Williams are just dynamite. I'm going to go with the Racers to win for a fourth straight time. And I normally don't like taking teams with freshman guards, and you know they have Carter and Smith, two freshmen that play often and split the point. But you know, in 30 games in, you're not really a freshman. Even in their losses, you know, to me, they held serve at home. That's what you do. A very good team wins at home. You lose on the road and you lose close games. A 7-point loss to Belmont, nothing wrong with that. A 3-point loss to Austin Peay, nothing wrong with that. And a 3-point loss to Eastern Illinois back on February 20th. So Murray State for me. And then, you know, depending how far, I might take a flyer on Eastern Kentucky. Again, just because their uniqueness of being one of the fastest paced teams, the hecticness they bring, you know, their top 10 in the country as far as tempo goes. The only other fast team, there's only two teams in the top 90 with tempo in the Ohio Valley, Belmont and Eastern Kentucky. So it sets those two apart. But I'm going to go with the best defense, Murray State, and with the been there, done that, and have won, I believe, three straight. This will make it four straight.
Yeah, this one would be the third straight for them. Jacksonville State won in 2017. That was a Murray State team in 2017. Only went 8-8 in conference play. So a rare down year for the Racers. They have won back-to-back here, though, as they are going for a third straight one this year. What's interesting about this conference tournament, again, the double bye for the top two seeds. So Belmont and Murray State each only have to win two games. Austin Peay has to play Thursday night. Then they'd likely run into Murray State if they win that game. So that makes it really tough for Austin Peay. And again, they're one of those money line rollover candidates where, yeah, they're going to be a big favorite in the quarterfinal game, but they'll be a dog to Murray State and they'll be a dog to Belmont in all likelihood here. So maybe an Austin Peay money line rollover going to be a better option than the straight futures price, but should be a good one there in Evansville. It was a good one on today's segment with Rolf Michaels, professional handicapper over at wagertalk.com. Rolf, great to get you back on the show here, man. What's going on over at the website right now?
Well, you know, it's a $9 Monday. Every package is only $9. And Tuesday is a great way for you to try a capper. If you haven't seen, we have the main capper on Tuesdays, $2. So I'll have a lot of March Madness information up there. The NBA stat sheet goes up daily, which breaks down the NBA over the last 2 weeks. And I'll, of course, be doing the first pitch, that daily MLB newsletter with two full pages on every game. That'll get put out daily, and it's always free on my homepage at wagertalk.com.
Once again, make sure you follow Rolf on Twitter at CalSportsLV and check out his work over at wagertalk.com. Rolf, always a pleasure, man. Thank you so much for chatting with me, and we'll talk to you again hopefully real soon.
Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it.
There you go. There's Rolf Michaels, professional handicapper over at wagertalk.com at CalSportsLV on Twitter. Coming up on our Tuesday edition of Bang the Book Radio, we'll chat with Brian Blessing, the host of Sportsbook Radio and Vegas Hockey Hotline. We'll talk some NHL, we'll talk some golf, we'll talk probably some college basketball, and a little bit of NASCAR on that Jack of All Trades segment. That'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody, and I will talk to you again tomorrow.